Today we're going to hear from Robert Stone. He is the prayer coordinator for the 40 Days for Prayer for Life in Springfield, Missouri. Rob tells us his own story of how he got involved, and he shares what we can all do to make a difference in our own community. Welcome to Homefront on Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm Cynthia Davis, your host. As a writer, speaker, and former legislator, we discuss limiting government, fiscal responsibility, and fair taxation. I'm a mother of seven and a wife of one for over three decades, so I bring you my personal experience. And now it's time for Homefront with Cynthia Davis. Welcome to Homefront. It is such a thrill to introduce you to my guest today. We have Robert Stone. He is the prayer coordinator for the 40 Days for Life in Springfield, Missouri, and has been sending me email every day about all the great things he's doing down there. Welcome, Rob.
Thank you, Cynthia. It's a pleasure to be with you. And I have to say, it's not the things I've been doing, but to what the Lord's been doing, for sure.
That's pretty exciting. So tell us, you were in the Air Force. You're now retired. What did you do in the Air Force?
I was a pilot and thoroughly enjoyed it. Went to the Air Force Academy back in the 80s, and I wasn't saved back in those days, but I took an oath that we all do when we go in the military to defend the Constitution, and one of the most important things in our nation is the right to life, the first unalienable right. And so, it was a very deep thing for me, and certainly once I became a Christian, it became even deeper.
I have a son who's in the Air Force, and he's a navigator, so I am real proud of both you and him. Thank you for serving our country.
Oh, it's really a privilege. I'm so thankful I had the opportunity.
So then you retired after being in, what, 20 years?
Yes, I retired at 20, and at the same time was involved in ministry and kept on doing that, and was grateful in ministry overseas. I met my wife, and God's just been very, very gracious to us.
So what kind of mission organization did you go with, and you did that for 10 years in what country?
Was in the country of Kazakhstan in Central Asia, and our agency is Pioneers out of Orlando, Florida, a wonderful group that focuses primarily on unreached people groups around the world. So we went to work with the Kazakhs, and God gave us a measure of grace, and we were able to plant a church and see quite a number of people come to faith in the Lord.
How exciting. Do you know where the Malaysian airliner might be?
That's a good question. It's interesting. That was one of the first things you said. Well, it could have gone as far as Kazakhstan, but my guess is a pilot, if things went in the direction it seems that it was foul play, then I would more guess probably Afghanistan or Iran, but we'll see if we ever find out what happened.
Amazing.
From the airline.
So were you a pilot with your missionary organization?
You know, not with the Pioneers, but I did fly for quite a season with a group called AirServe, which was Mission Aviation Fellowship founded, and even flew with MAF in Indonesia and Afghanistan. And I tell you, we are just so blessed in our country to enjoy the freedoms and the bounty that we have. We just can hardly imagine how blessed we are compared to the rest of the planet.
So you and your lovely wife have three children.
And yes, we have three and one on the way.
In 2005, you got diagnosed with stage 4 melanoma. Was that from being out in the sun too long, or what did they tell you about that one?
You know, almost for sure, Cynthia, and again, that was my pre-Christian days, but you know, it was vanity that led me to spending too much time out in the sun, and I'm a redhead, which is even more foolhardy, but God was gracious. By the doctors, I was given no chance of survival. Once you have stage 4 melanoma, I had it in my brain and lungs, and that's the end of life on this earth, as every physician pretty much will tell you. But God had another plan, and as far as I know, my research melanoma specialist in Seattle says, as far as he knows, I'm the only stage 4 melanoma of the brain cancer patient that ever lived more than 3 years. So we're at almost year 9, and God absolutely does miracles today. I saw one, actually another one this week. They just, you know, God is doing amazing things in our day, and that's one reason we're asking him to do what we can't do, and that's to end abortion in our country and around the world.
So how did you treat your melanoma, and what made a difference? How did you find out you had a problem, and then how did you address it?
Well, I came home on a two-week conference, was losing my eyesight in the left field of my of both eyes, and experienced a very severe headache in the right side of my brain. Remembered we're crosswired, and I told my dad, I think I need to go see a neurologist. And within a week, I was on the emergency table, and they were attempting to save my life because it had gotten so critical. And so I had a craniotomy, I had a lung resection, I had radiation, and then chemotherapy, and my doctor was gracious to allow me to take my chemo with me back to Kazakhstan. And I had learned from an older gentleman who had spent many years in prison in Romania, Dr. Richard Wormbrand, and he said, you know what, I'm not going to die in my rocking chair on my front porch. I'm going to go and do the ministry that God's called me to do. So I was happy to go back, thought they'd put me in the ground there, but evidently God had other plans. So I'm still kicking and trying to figure that out, and right now we just feel our call is to stand for the unborn who can't speak for themselves.
So if you knew anybody who had melanoma, what mm-hmm. would your advice be? Is there something, did you eat different diet, or was it the chemo that cured you?
You know, absolutely, there are certain things I think are very beneficial, and I think by simply the Lord's providence, we discovered many of them. You're right, eating right. We switched away from a lot of the sugars that I used to eat, and subsequently learned that actually it's good to be in the sun for a little bit to get your vitamin D, about 10 or 15 minutes every day. I'm an avid runner, and so that I think helps me a lot, just to get out, get fresh air, and exercise and so forth. And I did do the things that the doctors recommended generally. Whole brain radiation for a month. I passed on that because God opened up another door to do a one-day radiation called Gamma Knife. So there are a number of things. You have to be your own best advocate when you have cancer. And, you know, you're in stress and you're trying to figure all these things out and become an expert in whatever kind of cancer you have overnight. And we actually went in one time. They told us there was 6 weeks waiting list for me to get to the oncologist. And I went in and sat at the waiting desk of the receptionist. I said, ma'am, I have nothing else to do. If you have a doctor who has 10 free minutes or can see me at lunchtime, I'll meet them. And she came back about a half an hour later and said, Mr. Stone, you can come in and see the doctor now. So you have to really kind of be your own best advocate. And prayer, of course, is the key. I often tell people, I feel like I was the guy who got lowered through the roof by by four faithful friends, and Jesus touched me. I got emails from people all over the world saying, you know, we're praying for you, and people I never met before in my life. And so certainly, you know, prayer is the key. But I guess for the healthy side, I just throw out to your listeners, Dr. Lorraine Day gets a lot of grief on the internet, but she has distilled all those things as a surgeon from San Francisco General Hospital into the 10 things that you need to do when you've got cancer. And they are often not the radical things that many oncologists tell us that we need to do.
Let me repeat this again. What was her name? Dr. who?
Dr. Lorraine Day. Dr. Lorraine Day. And she, you know, mentions many of the things that we did just per chance by God's, like I say, God's providence is leading. And exercise, vitamin D, eating organic, get away from the sugars, get fresh air. And her last three things, I love them. They're all spiritual and they're all free. It's have a giving heart, be thankful, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. She says, you know, transcendental meditation won't cut it. You've got to know your Creator, and He knows how you're made, and He knows how to put you back together if you're broken. So I love those last three things. But Dr. Lorraine Day, after I got sick and had walked with this for a year, I found her online and just found her recommendations to be right on.
Fantastic. Well, God obviously did have a purpose for you. So you came off the mission field because you needed to be in America for your treatment?
You know, it was interesting. We simply happened to have ended up home for 2 weeks for a conference. If I'd stayed in Central Asia, I probably would have gutted it out and died on the field. But so we came home, had the emergency treatment, and then at the end of 3 months, I said, you know, can we go back overseas? Because we just are in the middle of a church plant. The believers, the leaders are barely established, and we just can't leave it that way. And he said, you know, if you want to take it, the chemotherapy with you and self-inject, you can do that. He says, I would be worried about you if you're in America. But, you know, he was a believer, and he said, if God's in control. So I took the chemotherapy with me and self-injected for a year and remained alive.
Amazing. So you came home. Was your term over with your mission board?
Yeah, that was really interesting. You know, we stayed, ended up for 2 years. I thought maybe I had a year at the most left to live. And so it lived 2 years. And in the process, of course, we were working as quickly as we could to train the leadership and turn everything over to national leadership. And at the end of the 2 years, they were more than ready. And they looked at me and said, or at us, and they said, well, you guys aren't sick now. Why don't you stay? I said, you know what? That would be the biggest mistake. You guys are ready to take over, and they have done that, and they've flourished and done very, very well. So it was just simply God's timing that it was time for us to leave. So we came home, we just were, I think, grieved to see that in the States, abortion continuing unabated, and thought, my goodness, after all these years of Roe versus Wade, we must be making more headway. And thankfully, in the last few years, we really have seen a significant turnaround in the total number of abortions that we are experiencing in America. Still over roughly a million a year, but down from 1.5, 1.6 back in the 90s. So, you know, we're saving maybe 500,000 babies a year, which is a great turnaround. And we see that young people are changing their mind in regards to abortion, that it shouldn't be something on demand, and generally people are opposed to abortion. So we're winning the war, but we'd like to see it won a lot faster.
So when you came home, you went to Southern California. What took you to Southern California, and how did you end up in Missouri?
Well, that's two good questions. One is California, because that's where the U.S. Center for World Mission is, and we joined Dr. Ralph Winter and his team there for a couple of years, and felt like we were able to plug into missions where our heart is for the unreached. Plus, I got onto the board of a pregnancy care center there in Pasadena, and joyfully was a part of helping them for a period of time, and just got more and more involved in pro-life work. As we looked for where we could base and have a strong standing behind us, perhaps as we moved more in that arena, we looked to Missouri, where my grandparents were from. My grandmother and grandfather were born in Sparta, Missouri, a little town not far from Springfield. And so we kind of settled in southwest Missouri, and we learned that Springfield has a Planned Parenthood, which of course shocked us, because here we are in the buckle of the Bible Belt, and here's the number one abortion provider residing there on a major thoroughfare. In fact, it's called Battlefield because it was one of the first significant battles of the Civil War. And so I think that God just has a fault line that runs through this part of the country, and Missourians, since you know, the early 1800s, have been a part of that. And I think where Missouri goes, the rest of the country will go. So, yeah, God's doing something very special here, and we'd love to see Missouri end up being the first state without an abortion facility. They're down to the last one, of course, there in St. Louis, and there are three other Planned Parenthood facilities in Missouri. We'd like to see them all leave our state.
How did you find out that the Springfield facility was sending people to St. Louis?
They told us straight out. I went in to talk to the manager, and that's what she told us. And I, you know, because I wanted to know specifically what they were doing, and so she wasn't shy at all to tell me that. And and that's, of course, what they do in Joplin. As I understand it from a friend of mine who's got very good sources, he says that there's a single owner of the Planned Parenthood in Springfield, Joplin, and St. Louis. So they, in fact, Joplin and Springfield are the portal to abortion from Southwest Missouri, and send their refer their patients to St. Louis. And I'm assuming now that since Columbia has been denied backup services for their abortionists, that they send their patients as well, either to St. Louis or the Kansas City, Kansas facility they have.
So tell us what you did this morning down there in Springfield in front of Planned Parenthood.
Well, as on a typical day, our focus is prayer. Often people will come and talk to us and engage with us, as we have several people that do. People will sometimes ask us why we're picketing. And I say, we're not picketing, we're praying. We're asking God to end abortion. And so really the majority of our time is spent in prayer, worship, seeking God. Some people like to pray quietly. We have very dear Catholic friends that come and pray the rosary. And although I'm not myself Catholic, it's always intriguing to me, and I just see the efficaciousness of their prayers, where the parking lot will often clear out in the matter of 10 or 15 minutes when our friends come and pray the rosary. So, I believe that faithful prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is powerful and effective. And we know that from Scripture, and we have not because we ask not. So we are seeing a significant turnaround, and 40 Days for Life, we tracked them for a number of years and could not believe the successes that they were having. It shouldn't have been a could not believe thing, because, you know, we know from Scripture, and I know from life experience, how often the Lord does answer prayer. So why can't we ask God for something as big as for our whole nation, that God would end abortion? And I believe that He's doing it.
Hi, friends. Do you like what you're hearing? Then go to my website. It's CynthiaDavis.net, and sign up for my newsletter. You'll get all this information and more when you sign up for my email reminding you of when you'll hear another podcast and letting you know what's coming up next. Besides, we always have a little bit of humor at the end, so go to CynthiaDavis.net and stay in the loop. For those of you who don't like email, go to my Facebook page. It's called Homefront with Cynthia Davis. And make sure you click the like button. That way, you'll have a convenient way to see what we're doing and to get the word when another podcast is released. That's Homefront with Cynthia Davis on Facebook. My website is CynthiaDavis.net. That's where we keep all our good stuff. So if you want to get our newsletter and find more podcasts, go to CynthiaDavis.net. Hey, let's stay in touch. The name of our program is called Homefront, and that's because we focus on what's happening in the home that's breaking down America. Mm-hmm. When I was in the Missouri State Legislature, I tried every tool we had to try and help people bring an end to the Holocaust of abortion in Missouri. But unfortunately, all of our legislative efforts don't add up to making much of a difference if the problem is in the family. It's like we have inserted a dangerous element, a component that has really destroyed our sense of identity as the human family. Mm-hmm. And here we are looking at abortion, and I realized it really is a symptom of the problem. The problem began much earlier. And you and your wife, you go into public high schools and talk about marriage and the benefit of waiting till you get married before you bring children into the world?
You know, that's a really good point, Cynthia, and you've hit the nail on the head that we have got to get kids before they get to the point where they're making bad choices that lead them into the place where they need to think about abortion. And it does start at the home. We live in a smaller community south of Springfield where meth, amphetamines, and broken families are the rule rather than the exception. And so we have gotten very involved with youth in our area. We started a community center that's Christ-centered to try to reach these kids. And, I think even if the family is encouraged, I think a family is not strong apart from a strong faith in God. And so we've got to build into these kids not only, they all desire to have a strong family. Every kid wants to be with their mom and dad, even if they're not of good character. So everyone desires a whole family, but it can't be whole unless our foundation is in Christ alone. And so that's our push, is for kids in our community to know the Lord. And I will also put a plug in for the Pregnancy Care Center in Springfield. They are doing a terrific job of getting in the high schools and junior high schools, and the pregnancy rate for teenagers in our area has dropped by 25%. But I want to jump back on one thing, Cynthia, you said about serving as a representative. I want to thank you, because it is your efforts and others like you that passed the law that required abortions to have surgical backup at a local hospital. And because our two hospitals in Springfield are not interested in that kind of work, abortionists cannot function in Springfield. So even though they have the facility here, and I have no doubt that Planned Parenthood would love to start up abortions, and I'm sure their facility is equipped to do it if they had permission overnight, they can't do it because of the work of people like you. So I thank you for being there. It's like, you know, I know being in the military, you have to have battles on multiple fronts. And so, we pray for the legislature, we pray for the governor, we pray for our federal government, we pray for the judiciary, and we pray for schools and local leaders. It's just at every level that being pro-life makes a difference in the abortion fight.
One of my greatest frustrations while I was there is that we didn't do enough. And thank you for your comments about, I remember when we passed that bill that did require hospitals to be back up, and the people from Springfield came out complaining, saying, if you pass this bill, it's going to effectively shut down the Springfield abortion clinic altogether. And we're like, well, fine. But at the same time, I tried to file a bill that would require parents to give their consent if a clinic is giving birth control pills to a minor. Mm-hmm. And I even broadened it. I said any prescription drug given to a minor should have to go through the filter of the parent saying, yes, you can. If it's Absolutely. A minor child, we're talking about the parents are responsible for everything that happens. Mm-hmm. And I met with strong opposition, beginning with the attorney who's supposed to help me draft the bill, and she told me that according to a Supreme Court case, that the child, a woman at any age, has a right to take birth control pills without parental knowledge even. And that one really got me, because if you're going to shut off the circuit between parent and child in that element, then what else are you going to do? So do they give out birth control pills to minor children in Springfield?
You know, Cynthia, I would have to say, I only from recollection, that not only birth control pills are accessible, and even if they were, even if I would have to say, unfortunately, if you had passed legislation for that, it's very easy to for minors to access those kinds of pills. All they have to do really is stand in line at the pharmacy in Walmart and ask a couple of young ladies if they wouldn't mind picking them up a birth control pill. Of course, they'd be breaking the law, but it's a fairly easy thing to do, which is the exact same thing that they were doing with the morning after pill, which is a heavy dose of hormones to either cause an egg not to be fertilized, slow down the sperm, or to in fact cause a fertilized egg not to implant in the mother's womb, which is going to cause a chemical abortion. So we're very sad to see that because of the federal government, it's out of the state's hands now, that minors can access off the shelf the abortion or the morning after pill, as I understand it. I might be wrong. Some of your listeners can correct me. But as I understand it, that was a national decision just in this past year. Inconceivable that a young girl going through puberty can get these kinds of hormones into her system and end up causing an abortion to her own baby. So that's where we are.
Well, now that you're done with the 40 Days for Life, what's next?
Well, we're focusing on the grassroots here where we are and helping kids throughout the summer. We will hopefully gear up for another prayer vigil in the fall, and it's always interesting during an election cycle to see what can happen. I encourage people that are very involved in politics that don't forget the aspect of prayer, because it's the foundation to everything we do. It's where the family will be made whole, our country will be made whole, and we could pass an amendment tomorrow in the United States if we could. That would outlaw abortion, and we would be back perhaps to pre-76 levels in terms of abortions. And that won't cure the problem. We've really got to reach, like you said, the home. We've got to reach people when they're young. We've got to reach them with the Lord so that we're accountable before Him and do what's right before Him.
Thank you. Do you have a website people can go to if they want to learn more about your 40 Day for Life program?
Yes, certainly. Go online and just Google 40 Days for Life, and you will quickly discover the regions in which there is a current prayer vigil being conducted. And you can jump right in if you'd like to have one in your city. You don't have to have a Planned Parenthood or an abortion facility in your city. The main thing is to get folks praying, get them engaged. A lot of people say, well, I don't like abortion, but I wish I could do something about it. Well, there's not a soul on the earth that can't pray. And that's where the change will happen.
So, Rob, thank you for being with us today. Is there one last parting thought you want our people to know about you and what you're doing?
2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. And that's really what it comes down to. It's not so much that we want a different political party or administration to be in charge of our country. We do pray for those kinds of things. But ultimately, the difference and the change lays within us. If God's people will rise up and say, you know what, God, forgive me that I have not been the voice for the voiceless and a help to these mothers that need help, that I haven't spoken out and shared the gospel with my neighbors the way I should, you know, that's when the changes will happen that we need to see. And that's what the scriptures tell us. So it's not so much up to the other guy to change. It's up to us. And to be humble before God and in faith, approach Him in prayer, and we'll see Him do amazing things in our day.
That's a great word. Thank you so much for being with us today. I just cannot thank you enough for sharing what's going on in your neck of the woods, and that can inspire other people in other parts of the country to stay with it, because we're going to see great things happen. Come on the show again sometime. We'd love to have you.
Thank you, Cynthia, so much for all that you do. Okay. I really appreciate you. God bless you.
God bless you, too. We'll talk to you next time. This has been another edition of Homefront on Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm Cynthia Davis and hope you enjoyed our program. Please join us next week when we offer another infusion of truth, honesty, and solutions that will grow people bigger and shrink government smaller. Thank you for joining us. See you next week.